Good morning. This is Autumn Richmond, and I will be doing my podcast on the film Moonlight by Barry Jenkins. Moonlight was an amazing coming-of-age movie made by Barry Jenkins with the help of Adele Romansky. Adele Romansky, who was an American independent film producer, urged Barry Jenkins to make a second film after the makings of his first film never reached production. The two brainstormed a few times a month through video chat with the goal of producing a low-budget, cinematic, and personal film. Jenkins got his inspiration from American playwright Terrell Alvin McCraney, who wrote the 2003 semi-autobiographical play In Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue, to help him cope with his mother's death from AIDS. After much discussion, Jenkins, in the span of a month, wrote the draft. Apart from the original storyline that consisted of three different parts that generally spoke about the life of Chiron, Jenkins took advantage of these parts and turned them into three different distinct chapters of Chiron's life. The characters portrayed in the film reflect the mother and father figures of Jenkins and McCraney's life. McCraney's father portrayed a character named Juan that will be addressed later on, who was a caregiver and nurturer for Chiron. Jenkins and McCraney both had drug-addicted mothers that they portrayed through the character Paula. The story of Moonlight is intended to invite the audience to follow the life of a character who's young, black, queer, and who feels so alienated from the world around him that he can't see himself as he is. Now we go to the settings. The film was set in the impoverished Liberty Square housing projects in the city of Miami. Now, Liberty City is considered to be one of the most dangerous places in Miami. They usually refer to Liberty Square as pork and beans, as everyone is seen to be an enemy to someone. Ironically, the Department of Public Housing and Community Development announced plans for reconstruction of New Liberty Square, January of 2015. This is about around the time that the production of Moonlight took place. However, the original projects were filmed for the movie for realistic purposes. The film supposedly took place in the 1980s era, where the war on drugs was extremely high. The production of Moonlight began in October of 2015 and premiered at the Telluride Film Festival on September 2nd, 2016, and was released in the United States a month later. Now, let's talk about the storyline. Moonlight takes a look at three pivotal moments in Chiron's life as a young black man growing up in Miami. The compassion, support, and love of the culture that helps raise him steer his epic path to manhood. A drug dealer named Juan meets a young boy named Chiron, hiding from neighborhood bullies. Juan brings Chiron to his home with his wife Teresa, and Chiron gravitates to Juan as he becomes more of a father figure to Chiron each day. Juan takes Chiron to the beach one day to teach him how to swim, telling the boy how he must carve out his own path in the world and not let anyone else decide for him. Paula, who is the crack addict mother of Chiron, is spotted by Juan in the midst of using drugs and is chastised. However, Paula claps back, expressing how he's the one that gave her the drugs. Later on, Chiron asks Juan what a faggot is and if he's one of them. Chiron proceeds to ask if Juan sells drugs to his mother, who he expressed that he greatly despises. Juan breaks out into tears as Chiron leaves the room, and that's the last we see of Juan. Moving on to the second phase of Chiron's life, where he's now a teenager. Chiron gets bullied and doesn't do anything to stick up for himself. Chiron escapes to Teresa's house, who is now the widowed wife of Juan, to crash or have a warm meal. The next morning, Chiron is taunted by his mother for money that she forcibly takes out of his pockets.
Chiron later that night goes to the beach to end up moments later being joined by a friend named Kevin. Kevin is one of those guys that typically brags about all the females he sleeps with. However, after sharing a blunt, Chiron and Kevin talk to each other about their goals and eventually get close enough to share a kiss. Kevin then gives Chiron a handjob. The next morning, Chiron tries to sit next to Kevin at lunch, but is interrupted by the same bully. The bully convinces Kevin to play this game called Knock Down, Stay Down, and Kevin agrees, not knowing his opponent is Chiron. Kevin, however, plays the game, striking Chiron each time he gets up while simultaneously telling him to stay down so he won't have to hit him again. The fight breaks out, and Chiron sees a social worker that tries to retain the names of all the bullies, but Chiron has motives of his own. The next day in class, Chiron grabs a chair and smashes it over the bully's back. We conclude this chapter with Chiron being taken out of class and going to prison. In the last chapter, the character Chiron, better known as Black, is 10 years older. Black is a now muscular, attractive drug dealer living in Atlanta. However, unexpectedly, Black receives a phone call from an old friend, Kevin. Kevin addresses how he's a cook in Miami and invites Black for a meal. Black accepts, and on his way to Miami, he visits his mother. She apologizes for her previous behavior in his life, and Black accepts. Sooner or later, Black arrives at dinner with Kevin. Black, sitting at the table quietly, Kevin cooks him dinner, grabs wine, and plays a song that he says reminds him of him. The song being Hello Stranger. Later, Kevin brings Chiron back to his place. Chiron says that he's never been touched by anyone ever since he was with Kevin at the beach. Chiron and Kevin then sit on the bed, and Chiron rests his head on Kevin's shoulder. Kevin then smiles and strokes Chiron's head, ending the movie. Between Chiron's mother, lack of a father figure, bullies, and his own sexuality, Chiron was basically forced to suppress his feelings because there was no one that he could turn to and feel comfortable with. What makes this film LGBTQ is the feeling of being oppressed and unaccepted for who you truly are. Chiron being called a fag and proceeding to ask if that who he was shows the cruelty he went through, emotionally, physically, and mentally. However, later on, feeling loved in the arms of another man is what ties this movie all together and bring comfort in Chiron and Kevin's sexuality. We can't do a storyline, however, without knowing our characters on a more personal level. And there's a lot to go through. We begin with current 47-year-old Mahershala Ali, who is quickly becoming one of the freshest and most in-demand faces in Hollywood, with his extraordinarily diverse skill set and wide-ranging background in film, television, and theater. Ali played the defending and nurturing Juan in the film. Juan is a drug dealer who takes Chiron under his wing in an attempt to provide Chiron with some stability. Apparently before casting, Jenkins hesitated to cast Ali for this role because of his House of Cards role. However, after seeing his diversity, Jenkins was reassured Ali was the one for the role. Ali considered the role an important opportunity to portray an African-American male mentor. Because of his role in Moonlight, in January, Ali won the Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Supporting Role. Not to mention, Time magazine named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world in 2019. Next, we go to Chiron's mother, Paula, played by Naomi Harris. Opposite of Ali, where the producers were hesitant on casting him, Naomi was actually reluctant on playing the role of Paula, as she didn't want to play a stereotypical depiction of a Black woman. She also was stern on not wanting to play a crack addict. Jenkins emphasized the character's representation of both his and McCraney's mother to Naomi, and sooner or later she was persuaded to play the role. Naomi soon was devoted to the role and met with addicted women to understand
how to play the part to the fullest. Paula was a crack addict who was struggling emotionally with the burden of trauma and trying to make adjustments to her body internally and externally. Luckily, the film helped Harris open her eyes to the real world. "I've just learned a real big lesson from this process," Harris explained. "And my lesson is that I had to confront my own judgments, and I had to dismantle those." The main character, or should I say characters, that make this film what it is Chiron. In the first chapter of 3, the youngest iteration of Chiron is 12-year-old Little, or Alex R. Hibbert. Hibbert has been awarded the Independent Spirit Robert Altman Award and Gotham Special Jury Award for ensemble performance for his amazing role. In the second phase of Chiron's life, we encounter teenage Chiron, played by Ashton Sanders. Ashton Sanders previously dropped out of DePaul University to pursue his acting career and become very successful right away. Ashton was able to connect to the film as he was raised in Southern California and states how his family struggled with addiction as well. The film fit perfectly for Ashton, as he says he was teased for being dark-skinned and slim. And the film offered a superwear experience through which to explore Black masculinity on its own terms. Ashton expresses how he relates to the role of Chiron and how Chiron didn't have the energy to put anything on, referring to a facade, for he was drained because of his circumstances at home. Lastly, we meet Trevante Rhodes, better known as Black, the 26-year-old version of Chiron. Trevante was a track star at the University of Texas in the mid-2000s. Rhodes was scouted while jogging one day, and his acting career took off, as he put running on hold. But according to Rhodes, his latest project, which was Moonlight, really made acting click for him. He says he enjoyed his role and was pushed to become the best version of Chiron. Someone who was also pushed was Andre Holland, or LGBT counterpart of Chiron, Kevin. Andre speaks on how the script of Moonlight took his breath away and how ready he was for the role. Andre speaks on how his character, Kevin, is a guy who used to be this hyper-masculine guy who bragged about the woman he was sleeping with and was putting on this performance of masculinity. However, when he is introduced to the third chapter, he's different. He's come to some kind of terms with himself and even with his sexuality. He's a gentler soul. Andre speaks on how the role bettered him as an actor and how there's a lot of aspects of him in the character.
Finally, we reach the themes of the movie. There are a few hidden messages within this film, and I'll be addressing only a few of them. For starters, a theme within the film is the battle between drug addiction. Paula struggles with her addiction to crack. Typically, drug addicts or dealers are looked down upon as evil or criminals in society. However, in the film, you can see the pain and guilt Paula feels for her addiction in her son's life. The film helps humanize Paula's character and creates a sort of parallel in life as it does with drugs. The drugs are like temptations that prevent one from moving forward, and instead of taking a step forward, it's like taking two steps back, making it harder to get out of the habit. Another reoccurring theme is the cycle of violence. The neighborhood that these characters are in assist in the younger men to mimic the crime and the use of drugs from older men. The parents' tax bracket and financial status plays a major role in the children's lives. The poorer they are and more strung out on drugs they are, the more likely their children will fall into the same position in life, or even worse. The violence is not only an external theme, but an internal theme as well. Chiron fights with himself by suppressing his sexuality and his confidence when constantly being bullied by the same people. Not only does Chiron fight with himself internally about his sexuality, but with his masculinity as well. The theme of hypermasculinity plays a major role in how each of the male characters respond to certain situations. When Kevin and Sharon were younger, they would compare their genitals to each other with a group of boys to show manhood. Or when Kevin and Sharon were wrestling each other violently as boys, they would try to test their strengths and who's basically more of a man. Hypermasculinity is a psychological term for the exaggeration of a male stereotypical behavior. Kevin displays hypermasculinity by bragging about the woman he sleeps with, or fighting Sharon in the game Knock Down, Stay Down to portray dominance or strength in front of his male counterparts. Sharon tries to prove his masculinity by getting back up whenever he gets knocked down. In the last chapter of Sharon's life, we see him completely hypermasculine as he wears gold fronts, chains, listens to more vulgar rap music, and has a masculine exterior and masculine mannerism. Due to the bullying Sharon experienced as a child, Sharon, better known as Black, has chosen to embrace the societal demand for a performed masculinity, to look intimidating to others, or to not bring attention to his own insecurities. Sharon has shifted from being externally weak towards being outwardly strong, but still the vulnerability he's carried with him throughout his life remains, as he admits he hasn't even been touched by another man since Kevin. The generalized but important theme within this film is reoccurring identity. Each individual within this film struggles with understanding if their identity is controlled by them or outside factors. This is clearly embodied in Sharon as he struggles with his sexuality, his masculinity, and comfortability with a lack of a father figure and an addicted mother. We can interpret that Sharon picked up where Juan left off, who was one of the only father figures in Sharon's life. So instead of creating a path for himself, Sharon adopted the life of Juan. Concluding this podcast, I'd like to bring in my own perspective on the film. In the film Moonlight, I believe that it captured the essence of Sharon growing up and how he basically felt like an outsider all his life, so he was never fully able to adapt to his true self. The film follows Sharon, the protagonist, through three periods in his life: childhood, puberty, and early adulthood. It explores his battle with his identity and sexuality, including the physical and emotional violence he endured as a child. In the Black community, during the 80s, it was more than likely taboo to be a gay Black man. Sharon was forced to suppress his feelings between his incapable mother, lack of a father figure, bullies, and his own sexuality. There are a lot of strengths in this film. One area that the film showed strength was with the production itself. Being able to film a whole movie with one camera capturing all the natural lights in the actual city of Miami was beautiful. The camera angles and amazing perfect lighting and scenery gave this film a more realistic and emotional feeling. The variety of characters within this film helped embody different perspectives on life and why some people do the things they do under the circumstances they are in. There are so many parts to each individual, from body language to verbal altercations. The movie was able to incorporate so many different people that a lot of people in the Black community, especially who were living it around in the 80s, could relate to. Each individual, mainly the men, were able to be separated into groups of immature and mature masculinity. I would say, based on the lifestyle and household that these boys were raised in, helped influence which stage of maturity they were at. Sharon, for example, went from his weak and fragile self due to all the bullying and embarrassment of his mother to a completely different man. However, you can see that it was more so the outside appearance that made him look different, as he was still unable to fully accept himself until he was held in the arms of Kevin. All in all, this was a basic yet impactful and motivating film on how to survive in a not so forgiving and accepting environment, and hopefully help young men in the Black and LGBT community to accept their own identity and not be overpowered by society's masculine beliefs. This is Autumn Richmond, and thank you for listening to my podcast on the film Moonlight by Barry Jenkins.